95.3 The Score is your sports station. Log on and listen live at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Greetings. What was that? Was that like an Ed Sullivan? When I know right here on our show.
It was more of a
Tovo Gigio, that annoying little mouse.
It was more of an extremely limited Madea from the Tyler Perry movies.
Hello. Nothing I got for you.
All right. Fine.
Just when I thought I couldn't bring less, I got nothing. Thursday is here. Nick and I are off next week. Vacation. It's all I ever wanted. Me and the Go-Go's. Belinda Carlisle in particular.
Oh, wait, I have a better drop.
I'm not going to be here.
Magic. I don't want to give away talking trash at the end of the hour, but that guy's going to show up. I guess I did give it away. That dude just... And it's Magic, man. I love Magic. Maybe my all-time favorite basketball player. The guy who I put up against Mike. And then I say, yeah, I guess in the end, Jordan is the GOAT. But don't be dismissing Magic as the potential GOAT. But by the way, the line he's in is one of the longest in sports. Great player. Coach, front office guy. By the way, the same line as Jordan.
I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
He takes pride in it. Just walking out.
Does he get nominated for a TV Emmy for that? He absolutely needs to. Like, can he get an ESPY? Like, that needs to be absolutely. An ESPY.
What's the category?
Performance of the year. Performance of the year. It has to be.
Is it snarky performance of the year?
I think that's better. Name the best single performance since last year's ESPYs. And one of them might not have even happened yet.
There's LeBron one problem.
LeBron game could go score 100 points tonight against the Bucks, and Magic saying, I'm not going to be here laughing about it, is the best performance of the year. He needs an Oscar. He needs an Emmy. Give him a Tony. Ask any other...
An EGOT.
Yeah, he needs the EGOT with the ESPY. And any other... Any actor could not deliver that line that perfectly. You couldn't have somebody write that line that perfectly.
The game you mentioned, by the way, Lakers-Bucks, only the third time ever that two NBA teams played a regular season game before the first of the year where they were each 20 games over 500. You know how I live for crap like that.
Mike on helps. That is the most Tim Kirkchin stat I've ever heard in my life.
You know, I wanted to say
tonight is the first time that two teams
lefties
will play before the first of the new year of a season, while both being first in their respective conferences and 20 games over 500 with the identical record.
I think we may have another very unique circumstance. It's from boxing. So Dan Raphael, who's been a longtime senior writer for ESPN covering the sport. So Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Got the green light from Nevada to fight Daniel Jacobs. But, oh my God, he missed weight and it cost him $1 million. A million. He was going to get three. He's getting two. Now, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you can show up not on weight and still get two-thirds of what you were going to get?
Well, it's not even fight day.
How
so...
do I get... What? You still got
no, there's just... It's amazing. So
how
the
do I get
fight
that
was
job?
Contracted at 168. He weighed in at almost 173. The fight will still go on. I guess he's going to take a bunch of, what are they called, diuretics and lose weight. Always a pleasant thought, by the way.
Not the only diet.
$1 million. Couldn't lose 5 pounds. World's biggest loser, line one.
Well, not loser, apparently.
Right. Well, I'm saying they're calling because they're like, well, we can help you out, genius, and next time you won't cost yourself a mil. What else did I want to bring up?
$5. Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, Kobe Garnett, and Tim Duncan. That's pretty much a lock for those three. We were debating the merits of Chris Bosh before we got sidetracked. Sean Marion, no. Michael Finley, no. Mark Eaton, no. Buck Williams, no. Chauncey Billups. Chris Webber. Will Webber be denied because of, basically because of him, all the Fab Five's banners are down from the Chrysler Center. I wonder if they're holding that against
How
him.
Does that debate work? Because, like with the
Reggie
Bush... Well,
because it's not the NBA Hall of Fame, it's
well,
the
no,
basketball.
No, I've got that. But, like, when you... Because it's not like, you know, there's no NBA Writers Association of America where the people vote and, you know, they have to decide. It's, you know, like 25 people locked in a room debating about this. How do they go about that? Because everybody in that room would have seen Chris Webber playing basketball at a very high level as a freshman, playing for national championships, making the Final Four, doing all of these great
things.
Pulling
timeout.
And you're right, calling a timeout that he didn't exactly have. Not a good look. But I don't think you can hold him out of the Hall of Fame for simply calling
for
a timeout. But then, like, if the records were all stripped away and he never played in those games, does that mean his statistics don't exist? Or do the stats still count, but then just the result of the game doesn't matter for the school? How do you just say, like, oh, well, technically he was a part of a team that never should have won any games and he never should have been able to play in college?
No, the redaction should not have anything to do with the evaluation of a particular player, in my most humble opinion.
How long do you think the debate when LeBron retires and, like, the 4 or 5 years later it is when
like
he's...
Like Kobe?
Out?
Same thing.
Well, right. It's just
Chuck
like...
Duncan?
You get to the alphabetical it? And they're like, Kobe Bryant, anyone? Next? Yes?
Yes.
Next?
Yes. Yes.
Because I think I heard a story when Brett Favre was put up for the NFL Hall of Fame. Whoever was part of that process said it was the fastest they had ever gone through a name. Everybody immediately was just like, next. Yes.
Well,
he's it. Yeah.
I think that's kind of obvious. I think Webber is as interesting of a case as Bosh, if not more so. I mean, all NBA, first, second, or third team, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. First team, all rookie. You know, he was never an MVP. And, of course, he only really made the one big run with Sacramento where they lost that seventh game to the Lakers in the West Finals. I do believe he was part of one Detroit team that made it to the East Finals, losing to LeBron and the Cavs 12 or 13 years ago. So it's an interesting list. Three locks and I see two considerations. Tim Hardaway, Rip Hamilton, Marcus Camby. I don't think so. But Yeah, we've got a few conversations we must have with y'all during the course of this program. Remember, at the bottom of the hour, one Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com will check in and we'll talk some Duck sports, in particular, obviously, some football. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Dave. Dave, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. So something just anecdotal it made me think of when you're talking about the Chris Webber stuff. So the NCAA finds out about something, and then they try to strike it from the record books as if it never occurred, right? Is that basically
right.
what they're doing? And that so they said that when Reggie Bush got a house, that meant that everything that he did on the field that year didn't matter, right? And they took his Heisman away from him.
Right.
So everything seems to be like after the fact. What do they do for prevention? They all act like, oh, well, we got the wool pulled over our eyes, so now we're just going to pretend it never happened.
Yeah, the conversation that they have is kind of odd because they can do the redaction, they could take banners down, but what does that change? All of a sudden, I don't remember Reggie Bush reversing field and making one of the greatest punt returns ever against Oregon State. You know, I don't remember the
right.
200. I mean, what does it really mean, and who really gets punished aside from, I guess, the player? But
right,
you know, they're not taking away what you know any money that he made in the pros. He's working as an analyst, so I just don't think as a punitive measure it makes the impact they think it does.
Well, who does it? Who do they think they're appeasing when they do this? Is it just self-gratification on their part?
Well, probably. Make himself feel better about, you know, despite all the sleaziness that goes on, all of a sudden, Reggie Bush is where they draw the line.
Yeah, it's my girlfriend broke up with me, but she wasn't really my girlfriend, so it doesn't matter.
No, I broke up first.
Yeah, there you go.
Take it easy. That's the simultaneous. I quit. Nope, you're fired.
Oh, oh.
No, I did it first. I did it first.
It was no. We mutually parted ways. Mutually. We all agree.
It the cleaning service that Jerry hired in Seinfeld, and he ended up sleeping with her. And the one time she was taking a nap in the bedroom, and she's like, "I'm leaving now." And apparently, she had just come over, and they didn't do anything else, and she didn't clean, and she wanted her payment. And Jerry's like, "Well, you really didn't do anything." And she goes, "What are you saying?" And he goes, "Well, then we're broken up, and you're fired." After she broke up and quit. I think we got a similar case here. Oh man.
I've never seen that Seinfeld episode or heard about that one before. That seems like
independent contractor.
I was addressing and stuffing envelopes for the Christmas card that my girlfriend and I send out, and the only thing I can think of every single year that happens is George's fiance who dies from licking the envelopes with the expired poisonous glue on. And I'm like, well, this is how I'm gonna go. It's gonna be sending out the happy Christmas card at the end of the year with the super cheesy letter that I put in it, and I'm gonna go because it's gonna be bad glue on the envelopes from Shutterfly.
And to think, 2020 was going to be the year of Nick.
It was.
it's a sad, sad ending. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I mean, we've seen this a lot. You go to Villanova in 1971. I think his name was Howard Porter, found to have taken money. They never played against UCLA in the finals. I was talking about Marcus Camby when Calipari, he and UMass made the 96 final and lost to Kentucky. They found out he took money from an agent prior to his college career ending. They redacted that one. 1980, I think UCLA, there was some shenanigans involving Larry Brown. They lost to Denny Crum in Louisville. Nope, that's redacted. What are they? Not redacted. Redacted is like
revoked, removed.
No.
Eliminated.
Vacated. There you go. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
All right, what's up?
So something, a question I have about the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the voting, how that occurs. Do they, the discussion that you're having, I really like it because you've got these surefire, first ballot, no doubt kind of guys. But I don't ever hear about with basketball or football, do you get the unanimous decisions? I mean, and you easily should, but I know baseball has these writers who get a feather stuck in their you-know-what, and they're like, yep. No one ever votes unanimously for guys to get in the Hall of Fame, which I think is really, really idiotic. But does basketball or football, do they have that kind of an issue, or is it just pretty clear-cut? I mean, guys like Kobe, Tim Duncan, I mean, good grief, everyone should vote them in. And I think baseball-wise, it's idiotic when guys like Tony Gwynn or, you know, Greg Maddux, those guys don't get in, you know, unanimously either, but there are those writers who have their axes to grind.
Yeah, you know, with baseball, it's the Baseball Writers Association of America. There's a little more than 500 members, and you've got to get, 67% or 75%?
Yeah, I think it's like 70%.
Yeah, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I know basically that they bring up a guy, and then they discuss it. And then, you know, it's not like a formal vote. And I believe in the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's 75% of the votes. And I think there's like 25 voters. So they go through a screening committee, and then they have to have been retired from their role for X amount of years, you know, like baseball and football. And then once they make the final list, they have a final vote, and they've got to get 75% of the votes.
Well, that makes sense, because what you're saying then is to get a unanimous choice is probably much simpler with basketball, just because there's so many dang writers in baseball, and very rarely we ever get someone who gets every single vote.
Yeah, right? We've talked about it before. Somebody actually looked at Willie Mays' career and was like, nah, doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, there's some of those people, good grief. I mean, they just need to
get over themselves.
Yeah, they just need to get over themselves and actually pay attention to sports. Good grief.
Yeah, good stuff,
Ken. Thanks, Steve. Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate the call. Once upon a time, the big controversy surrounding the Basketball Hall of Fame was voter anonymity. While the sports writers in every other sport, I mean, they'll openly debate their choices. The word I think that they used is the Naismith process is not transparent. And one of the things that bothers people is they tend to put active college coaches in and some obscure players, while some better players seem to get snubbed a little bit. Try to think, like, if I give you the name of some of the guys who have been around a while, you know, some coaches, Dick Motta, Rudy Tomjanovich, who was, you know, guys who were really good players like Tomjanovich and then won two championships back to back, albeit with Michael playing for the Birmingham Barons. A lot of people, Eddie Sutton, from the days when Gottlieb was on this station, he used to preach his candidacy quite often. So, a lot of people, as much disdain as many fans and people who do this have for the pure arrogance, what I view as pure arrogance of the Baseball Writers Association of America, are even more down on the Basketball Hall of Fame. The toughest to me still remains football. I go through this every year, and I always be like, I'll bring up five names to people, and they'll be like, how the hell is that guy not in the Hall of Fame already? Because they have a ceiling, like I guess MLB does, about the most you can induct in any one year.
No, baseball just has a maximum number of people you can vote for. So if 75,
which means there's obviously,
well, right, there's a cap, but the odds of 75% of everybody agreeing on the 10 people that are going to make it is pretty damn astronomical.
No, I agree. But the process, it's put it this way, the process across the three major sports we're talking about, professional baseball, basketball, and football, it's not uniform. So that's probably the most eloquent way I could think of putting it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, there was another. I saw this story. Somebody text, don't forget about Harold Baines. Yeah. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame is having this centennial class. The finalists were announced today, and it's all in part of the celebration of the NFL's 100th anniversary. The 38 finalists will be trimmed to 15, 10 senior players, 3 contributors, and 2 coaches. And it's a panel where you've got guys like Bill Polian, John Madden, the Hoodie, Ron Wolf, longtime GM of the Packers and the Jets, Gil Brandt, instrumental in building the Cowboy dynasty under Landry, Dick LeBeau, great player, great defensive coordinator. So I guess the names eligible are not in the Hall of Fame. Would I be accurate in saying that? Yeah. So 2 of these coaches are going to get picked. Air Coryell, Bill Cowher, Tom Flores, who does not get the credit for being the first person of color to coach a team to the Super Bowl, winning 2 with the Oakland, then L.A. Raiders. Mike Holmgren of the Packers, you know, won Green Bay their Super Bowl, went to back-to-back, took Seattle to their first Super Bowl. That's Sean Alexander, Matt Hasselbeck team of 05. Jimmy Johnson, by the way, Jimmy, you forget, Jimmy Johnson only coached 7 years in the NFL because he left after Jerry Jones wanted to take more credit than he was deserving of. Dan Reeves, the Crier, Dick Vermeil is on there. Then they have the contributors and senior players, the recently deceased Cliff Branch, Harold Carmichael, great wide receiver for Dick Vermeil's NFC champion Eagles in 80. Roger Craig, who at the time, pre-Marshall Faulk, the only player ever to run for and receive more than 1,000 yards in a season. Randy Gratishar, a good linebacker for the Orange Crush Broncos of 77. Cliff Harris, along with Charlie Waters, one of the best safety combinations ever with the Cowboys. Yeah, Alec Karras, Mongo, Drew Pearson, wide receiver. I mean, you know, none of these guys are in the Hall of Fame, but they might get in this centennial class. We'll get to that in a little bit. I want to remind you, our friends at Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart, for the holiday season, they want to make it easy for you if you get a quote. They're encouraging you to learn the value of life insurance as a gift. Could have a lot of uses. It won't break. Doesn't go out of style. So if you get a quote for life insurance this holiday season by stopping by their office on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart or calling 686-1522, Big Al and his people will donate 100 meals to Food for Lane County so you can help feed the community and protect your family. Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. All right, break time is now. We'll do just that. We'll come back. Oh, yeah. Talk with Rob Mosley. GoDucks.com next. 95.3 The Score.
It's the most wonderful time.
95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
A linebacker by trade, also played running back. To me, reminds me of DJ Williams. Remember that linebacker way back in the day from the state of California? Ended up going to Miami. A dynamic athlete. That's exactly who Justin Flo is. He's a top 3 player in this class. Beat the SEC schools, ACC schools on this dynamic recruit, and he simply tries to punish people when you watch him play.
Of the year. Someday, I will give you the lyrics I came up with to this song that I shouldn't even be able to stay near a microphone. I will put you in tears. right, welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Let's talk many things sports of the Oregon nature. He's the editor of GoDucks.com on Twitter. Give the handle at Duck Football a whirl. Or for other sports, how about at GoDucks Mosley? Either way, Rob Mosley checks in. Rob, how are things with you these days?
Well, I just got out of a planning meeting for the Rose Bowl, so it's hard to beat that.
That would be high on a list, especially if you work in this conference.
Yes, sir.
You know, obviously I'll get to football, but women's hoops, which is something, you know, you've covered for a lot of years, and you've seen great players, high-level pros, all sports. I know it's easy to gush about her, but I watch Sabrina after games. The way she interacts with fans, the crowd around her down in Long Beach, and, you know, forget the fact she breaks a program record like every other trip up the floor. We see Kobe at her games. Jay Billis talks about her. Of all the great, great players you've seen here, is she, like, as uniquely impactful as we've seen?
I think that's pretty close to say, yeah, because you know, we've had some other guys, Marcus Mariota, even Justin Herbert now, who, you know, don't love the spotlight per se, and they handle it, and they recognize that's part of the of being a quarterback in those two guys' cases, and so they handle the responsibilities that way. But Sabrina, you know, just enjoys it, and the way she handles all the attention that's come her way, both from fans, media, all that, you know, it never feels like there's pressure that's getting to her or anything like that. She still, you know, focuses on her game and preparing to play at a high level, and, you know, she's a great team kid too. So, you know, I think, you know, we see she's got some showman to her too.
Yeah.
With the triple doubles and you know, she was kind of hunting assists at the end of the game the other night, and that was kind of fun to watch. So, yeah, I just, you know, at times you just step back and, like you say, kind of appreciate it, and you don't want to take anything for granted. She's really great. I just saw, you know, today ESPN.com devoted a whole page to kind of her background and kind of celebrating her career to this point. I think in recognition that a lot more people are going to know who she is as she gets close to joining the pro ranks. And so to have that sort of, again, to have ESPN devote a whole section of their website to you as a college women's basketball player, you know, tell somebody that 10 years ago would be a pretty foreign concept.
Right.
But, yeah, she seems just built to handle it, and it's just, yeah, we're all really proud of her, that's for sure.
Nah, she's just a joy. On the men's side, you know, sometimes you look at a team and think, if they had, and you fill in the blank, and you think of the great success with Jordan Bell, Kenny Wooten, the guys dominant in the paint and the rim, and I get it was a whole 14 minutes and Montana. But, man, right. Doesn't this Folly Dante guy just look like a key piece to add right now?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was breathing a sigh of relief because I went out to practice Tuesday, hung around after interviews and watched and took a few pictures, and my jaw was just hanging open the whole practice. And I came back to the office Tuesday afternoon and was like, you guys, if anybody wasn't going to go to the game, go to the game. This guy is nuts. and to your point, just the exact what this team needed. If there was anything that was lacking, you know, one more big body, you know, a rim protector on the back end, a guy who could finish athletically around the hoop, in the post. And, you know, and so I was pretty relieved that he actually lived up to the hype that I myself had been guilty of building up. But it was really special. It was really fun. And, yeah, you know, I thought it was pretty telling that, you know, after last night's victory, we asked Will Richardson, kind of, okay, going into Dante's debut, you guys were saying he was exactly what you needed. Kind of he filled the biggest hole. What's the biggest hole now? And Will was very honest. He said, hey, now probably it's the potential for overconfidence, you know, like, you know, we feel like we have all the parts. We feel like we're a good team. We got to make sure we're still doing all the little things. And you know, Dana Altman is going to say on guys about hitting the boards and going hard defensively and not getting caught up in who's scoring and how many minutes people are playing. But, you know, that's easier said than done. So it is going to be a test of these guys to see just how much maturity they can bring to the expectations that are on them now, because they know how good they can be. They know what kind of potential this team has to play for a long time this year. And we'll see how they navigate that. But, you know, all the parts look like they're in place. And yeah, last night was pretty fun.
On to football, talking with Rob Mosley. So beyond the one-by-one specifics of the recruiting class from yesterday, I guess kind of the buzz around the department, it just seems to me the recruits kind of transcended rankings, which were strong, but accurate to say maybe they hit a high percentage of targets, and just the caliber of these guys, just they're the type you've generally seen the elite programs get.
Yeah, well, if you look at the rankings by 247 Sports and Rivals, by a consensus of those two services, there were six teams that signed multiple five-star players. And those six teams were Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, and Oregon. And so when you're talking about that being your colleagues, I mean, that's the elite of the elite in college football right now.
Literally.
Now you got to develop that talent now, and you got to win games, and you got to make the most of it. But you need good players. You need elite players to compete at an elite level. That's the starting point for national success. And so to be in that kind of group is pretty cool and pretty special. And the other thing that was cool about yesterday is I think, you know, the saturation of coverage of recruiting these days, there's very rarely a lot of news that breaks on signing day. But to get Justin Flo to commit, and also kind of the mild surprise of the quarterback signing, the second quarterback signing later in the day, for there to actually be a bunch of news that came out on signing day, you know, it felt like a throwback to 15, 20 years ago before the industry got covered to the extent it is now. So that was fun.
Often forgotten this time of year are recruits from a year ago who didn't play.
Right.
I was looking at some of these guys. You know, you're around the program. You see them practice. We know the offensive line is going to need replenishing. So I know there was a JUCO guy. I'm going to take a shot at his name. Molisala Amuvai-Laulu.
Just go with Sala. Everybody calls him Sala around here.
Okay. What could you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's a big body for sure. And you know, kind of a raw guy, but with a ton of physical ability. Yeah, I expect him to be in the mix competing for a job next year. You know, I think you look at Stephen Jones and the fact that he was able to be redshirted, assuming he isn't needed to play in the bowl game. That's huge because he's a massive talent. Literally and figuratively, you know, if you've got him and Penei Sewell at the tackles, you're starting at a really good spot. And then, you know, I think Alex Forsythe is a guy at any of the three interior positions, or even if a tackle, if he had to, that Mario Cristobal feels like he can rely on, and Alex Mirabal feels like he can rely on. You know, those three guys I would expect to be definitely in the mix along the offensive line. And then you got a bunch of other young guys and incoming players. Who could compete for other spots. But I don't think anyone else is kind of as firmly in the mix right now as far as what I would project beyond those three.
Behind Justin Herbert on the depth chart, obviously it's been Tyler Shuck. A year ago, much talk about Cale Millen. You know, we all made the connection to Daddy Hugh, and he ended up undergoing a surgical procedure. I think he probably was going to redshirt anyway, but what you've seen of him, how would you evaluate maybe his chance of being in the mix to get on the field as what would be a redshirt next year?
Yeah, I think that's really hard to project right now. He's really athletic. And when times like in practice when he would tuck the ball and run, he can make people miss. He was pretty dynamic as an athlete. You know, as a thrower, he didn't seem the caliber yet of you know, certainly Herbert, who's got an NFL already. But Shuck made a lot of progress, you know, since last year too. But then we find out that he's been playing with a bum shoulder all that time. So I feel like, you know, you just have to flush what we've seen so far. You know, give him a chance to get healthy, which is the point of the surgery, get healthy in time for spring ball, and then kind of hit the reset button and see what he is in terms of a thrower. I think it's almost not fair to him at this point to put any stock into what he's done since he got here, just because it turns out he was trying to play hurt, and then finally, you know, made the decision that was in his long-term best interest to get his shoulder fixed, and now we'll see, you know, who he is next spring.
Talking with Rob Mosley, a few final thoughts. GoDucks.com. I'm with two of the guys who have played since they were freshmen at the linebacker position. Lamar Winston, Troy Dye, obviously gone. I like to say there are openings in the linebacker department. I was looking at Isaac Townsend, who was a big recruit out of Colorado. Another red shirt from the class of 2018. He's got size. Your observations, what are the coaches saying about, you know, what kind of factor he might be next year?
Yeah, he's a long guy. I think you look at, like, the stud position that Bryson Young plays, and Mace Spoon is a guy who I think looks like the next man up there. But you're going to need you're going to want to rotate guys. You're going to want a second guy there. And so I think that's where you look for maybe Townsend to break in to the lineup if he has that chance next year. He's a big guy, rangy guy, really goes hard in practice. You know, I think he's a guy the other defensive linemen and front seven guys really, you know, cheer for in drills and they root for him because they know he works his tail off and they like to see that rewarded. So I'll be interested to see just kind of what kind of shape he's in coming in next year, because he's already changed his body a lot since he first got here, just, you know, much more defined, much more muscle, and that was a big point of emphasis for him. So he'll have, you know, another winter now to gear up for next year and build up his body even more. And so he's another guy I'll just be really interested to see what he looks like when they hit the practice field come spring and what kind of role they have carved out. But I do think, yeah, there's going to be reps in that rotation at the stud position that he's been practicing at. And we'll see if he can play himself in the mix.
Another guy in that mix at a different position. I mean, obviously, when you talk about this defense, how great it was this year. Isaac Slade Matuatia, who redshirted, yeah, then got injured, missed half of last year. I feel like he flies a bit under the radar because
no doubt that
guy's a playmaker. I mean, is he the kind of guy who, if healthy, I mean, could just break big next year?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really interested to see what kind of role he has. You know, he plays kind of a Mike linebacker position now, with Troy playing, you know, Troy Dye more of a will. You know, does one of those big body five-star guys that just signed jump in there at Mike and Slade moves over? Because he's really athletic. He could move. And he's just, you know, a really instinctive player, knows for the ball. You can see that in his pass breakup numbers. He might still lead the team in pass breakups. Which just shows his knack for getting into passing lanes and breaking up the ball. But, you know, I wonder, too, if he could even be a guy who slides out. You know, we talked about that Sam position and Lamar Winston moving on from that. You know, it's not a position that isn't used as much because this team plays so much nickel-based defense. But I wonder if Slade's a guy who could slide out to the edge, too, if you want to plug. I mean, say you wanted to plug both of those big, young freshman linebackers into the rotation next year. Could Slade slide outside in some cases? I think he could do that. Either way, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to be on the field as much as he possibly can next year. It's just a matter of how he fits best with the other guys they want to try to get on the field.
And by the way, he does lead the team in passes broken up, 11-9 over Graham. You should definitely cover this team for a living.
It beats working, I'll tell you that.
One last thing, you know, as the season moves along, I think fans or media, you focus on what might be, maybe the playoffs, then facing Utah as an underdog. So now that we're a couple weeks removed, I mean, considering Coach Cristobal, in essence, is changing the face of the program, it's only his second year, the road wins, running away with the North, 11 wins already. Can we now take a breath and say, wow, this has been a great season?
Yeah, I think so. And I got to say, for all those Oregon fans out there, I've been really impressed and very appreciative that folks, I know there's a lot of disappointment after that Arizona State game, and, you know, Lord knows it was felt internally too, and that was a rough flight home, and kind of to know that the opportunity that had been lost. And I think there was a little bit of chatter right in the aftermath of that game about how, you know, you've lost the biggest prize, a potential playoff spot, and so, you know, not that the season's over, but, you know, you kind of lose perspective. And I've just been really appreciative to see, I think, you know, 99% of the reaction I've seen from fans the last 2-3 weeks has just been overwhelmingly positive about the, you know, kind of reassessing, adjusting goals, realizing that the Rose Bowl is still out there, and that, you know, for me, that's the one thing, if you're a Pac-12 team, that you can control going into any year.
Yep.
That's the one thing you can take out of anyone else's hands. Win your league and go to the Rose Bowl. And that's what the Ducks have done. And the fact that so many fans are backing this team and proud of this team and celebrating this team and you know, tens of thousands of fans making plans to go down to L.A. and be at that game and cheer these guys on and participate in that celebration has just been really, really gratifying. So, you know, I can't express enough how great that's been to see from all the Oregon fans out there. They've really rallied behind this team and stuck by them, even though there's been a couple of speed bumps.
No, I agree. I think, like, as a fan base, they collectively decided to hit the appreciation switch at the
yep.
same time.
Yep.
Folks,
yep.
He is Rob Mosley. He's the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com on Twitter. Give a run at Duck Football for other sports at GoDucks Mosley. Rob, always appreciate your time and insight, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Have a happy holidays to you and everybody on your staff.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. You too.
Yep. All right.
All right, great info there. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm thinking, you know, how do I want to delve into this recruiting class? And I'm like, well, we've all talked about it for the last 24, 48 hours. You see the names. He hasn't seen them play, unless he's seen film. I'm more interested in the people we were talking about a year ago on this day. And, you know, who will logically, because true freshmen play, but redshirts play more, and guys who might be sophomores. And yeah, Matua Tia, I think, has superstar in his DNA. He makes plays. I mean, dude gets up off a lot of piles. He's a terrific player. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour with Talking Trash. Next, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
23-15, Oregon still in front as Pritchard throws it to Dante. The lob on the drive, and Dante with a poster of a jam. Ahead, Duarte stops at the right block, bounce pass, Richardson wide open for three. Missed in front, iron, but Okoro, putting on a show of his own, follows it with a two-handed jam.
We jamming. All I need, Joey Mack. So the first couple plays Dante made last night, I just went on Twitter and just went, Folly Dante, welcome aboard. Impact Jones, I'll tell you that much. All right, folks, it's that time on a Thursday when we wrap hour one of Sports Talk with those in the world of sports who yacked or got our attention, then either made us laugh, think, or facepalm. It's a little something we call talking trash.
It's time for Talking Trash.
I can't really hear what Jeremy says because I got my two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ear.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Steve and the guys bring people to the table and decide their fate.
Say what?
Who would bet on Ernie Terrell beating me? I told you I was floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee.
You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here?
He's afraid to lose. I think what he should do is we should run this race over again so I can kick his ass one more time.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Son, I gotta do better than this.
That's right, and Talking Trash is brought to you by the Lane County Waste Management Division. When in doubt, throw it out, and with recycling woes in the news so much, it's important to remember that recycling works when you recycle the right stuff. Lane County is offering free resources to label bins with the do's and don'ts for offices and multi-tenant buildings. If you are wondering if something is recyclable in Lane County, you can look it up at lanecounty.org/garbageguru. Again, Talking Trash brought to you by Lane County Waste Management Division. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Magic Johnson, who actually wasn't a trash talker as a player like, you know, Michael or Bird. And, of course, as a front office guy, unparalleled wisdom with his unique idea he shared on Twitter a few years ago, the Lakers should sign the best players as free agent. Hmm. Bill Polian and Jerry West got nothing on this guy. So now in a chat with Bill Plaschke of the LA Times, He says he deserves a lot of credit for the current Lakers, who are 24-4. Tried to push the idea that he drafted Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart to trade them because they were in the Anthony Davis deal. Also cited the brilliance of dealing Timofey Mozgov, who the Nets took because he was an expiring contract. But Magic talking crap about a team he quit on because he thought the situation was hopeless is...
It's kind of just like classic Magic, which, like, it's not very good and it's not very...
Talking at his rear end.
It just is.
It just is.
Just is. Like, I expect nothing less from Magic Johnson. My trash talk goes Ed Orgeron, who is focused on the big picture here. This is quite the throwback since the trash talk. We haven't done it in a while, and it was so good I wrote it down. We had to get to it. Back on November 23rd, the LSU Tigers severely beat a hapless Arkansas team 56-20. It locked them up the SEC East, and it was a pretty big win. But Eddie O, probably not trying to roast the Hogs post-game. He did his best. We're on to Cincinnati, saying there wasn't going to be much celebrating for beating Arkansas. They haven't beaten anyone in a long time. It's a big ouch, Coach O. So how do we rate or sort out this coach trash talk that was maybe trying to keep his team motivated on the big picture, but also he destroyed Arkansas. This is very unfair.
Yeah, that is a demolition. I will give you that one. So, yeah, light it up. Demolition is demolition.
It's true. It's a big brand.
Next up, the Are You Kidding Me owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, from the clueless, born on third, trying to convince all he tripled off Gerrit Cole. Much documented, the Raiders just played their last game in Oakland, losing to Jacksonville, the city that made his dad wealthy beyond what a Brooklyn kid whose dad worked in the garment industry could expect, thus leading to his financially fantasy life. So when asked after what was an emotional finale for the people of that city, well, let's actually hear what he had to say.
Any nostalgia for you at all, knowing that this is it here?
Nah, you know, I went through this in '82,
That's it. That's his answer. Nah. Franchise spent 47 years in the East Bay, and in a moment like that, yeah. Nah. On Twitter, he's been called, what I could repeat, heartless, disrespectful, entitled, tactless. At Roddy P on Twitter called him the scum of the earth. So this owner who gutted his fans reacting like that is...
Nah.
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 It's really bad.
It's garbage. It's a garbage human being. Thanks for letting us in.
Yeah.
My last one here, we got to do it really fast. Arizona Athletics, not winning much for sure, but they won some online trash talk. At AZ Athletics, and you have to yell it because it's in all caps, tweeted out Google's ugly sweaters and then three pictures in the tweet. It's a bad drawing of some snowmen that don't really look like snowmen, but we're pretty sure they're snowmen. Santa on a unicorn, a little Santa sweater himself. The fourth one, an ASU crew neck. Pretty solid, uncalled for burn of your in-state rival. What do we do for this trash talk?
That's a good one, but do we all get it? If we were doing a show in Phoenix or Tempe and Tucson, would it be better?
It would be better if they were both better.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to go full on. Yeah, but that's good. Santa Cook?
Yeah.
Well, we got another one in the arsenal. Yeah. All right, that's talking trash. We break. We come back. 5 o'clock hours next, 95.3 The Score.
He gone!